Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speed Test. So MLB fans are connected from home to home plate. With the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever, you can keep up with your teams on the road, overseas, and even off the grid. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla Speed Test Intelligence data, 1H2025, compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Come on, let's get going now.
From KMOX Sports.
We're primed and ready.
All day, baby.
Man, let's go.
This is the Graybar Sports Open Live. Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs. On 104.1 FM, KMOX.
Here we go on a Tuesday night. Welcome in. It is the Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. Great to have you with us today. If you want to chime in on the program, multiple ways to get connected. You can call or text 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. You can tweet at me, at Matt Pauly on air, M-A-T-T-P-A-U-L-E-Y on air. And for those of you who are watching the show on our video stream on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube, you can leave a comment in the stream, and we will see that. And yeah, we'll go along through the course of the program tonight. Here's what we've got going on from a guest standpoint. We're going to talk with Aaron Schatz in about 10 minutes. Does a lot covering football right now. He is the chief analytics officer for FTN Fantasy. Great guy to talk football with, and he's going to be with us in about 10 minutes or so. At 6:35, so in about 25 minutes, we're going to talk with our good friend Mike Farron. You hear him on MLB Network Radio. Also does some play-by-play work with ESPN. Just a great guy when it comes to Major League Baseball. And then next hour, we'll talk with Luke Korak. We'll talk St. Louis Blues hockey with him. Blues yesterday come away with a good win. Really good win yesterday. Winning at Vancouver 5-2. You never really know what it's going to look like even early on in the season when you play that second straight game on the road, especially somewhat far away. They played back-to-back Canadian games. They won against Calgary on Saturday 4-2, and then they put together the 5-2 win yesterday. Good to see Jimmy Snuggerud get going a little bit in that game. Jake Neighbors scores a goal. He already has three goals this season, so there were certainly a lot of positives that came out of that one, and then they're going to be back at it coming up tomorrow evening. They host Chicago over at the Enterprise Center. That's going to be a late start. 8:30 is going to be the start time for tomorrow night's game. It's a national TV game, so that's why it's such a late start. But, yeah, good start for the Blues. They lost that first game of the season, but then scored 9 goals over the next 2 games. You certainly can't complain about that. In addition to talking with Luke Korak at about 7:20, at about 7:35, we're going to listen into some of what Jim Montgomery had to say. He met with the media earlier today. They got out for a little bit of a practice, which that's it was an opportunity for them to. They came back from Vancouver yesterday. They get back. That's a long trip. They got on the ice for just a few minutes earlier today. Work through some things. Work hard. It was a spirited practice, And then they're going to get they're going to have a late day coming up tomorrow. I think he said that they're not going to do a morning skate tomorrow. I think that's what they said. So it's going to be a little bit of a later day tomorrow. So I like the way that scheduling works for them leading into a game against the Blackhawks tomorrow night at the Enterprise Center, which will be their second home game this year. From a baseball standpoint, man, I thought the NLCS last night was really, really entertaining. We didn't really talk about it much during Rush Hour Sports, but the crazy double play that was turned in yesterday's game where it goes 8-6-2, where the ball comes out of the glove in the outfield, it bounces off the wall. So once it bounces off the wall, it's not a catch. It comes back into the glove, but the runners on the bases had no clue what was going on. And you end up seeing a double play turned, started in center field. First double play of that nature in the history of the baseball postseason. And sidebar, because I'm always the first guy to get after umpires when they don't have good days. I'll be critical when they miss calls. I'll be critical of strike zones. Man, that's a really tough play to know exactly what's going on. And every single umpire, when that play was happening, knew exactly what was going on. That is a credit to those umpires. That's a really, really good job by the umpire. So you're not going to hear me lifting up umpires all that often, but when they do a good job, especially in a moment like that, I think we should take them. And I guess you could argue it didn't matter in the sense that they could have always that play was going to be reviewed and they were going to get it right no matter what. But still, as an umpire, you want to get the call right in the moment. I know that umpires don't like having their calls overruled. They accept replay for what it is, but there is some pride. There should be pride. The good umpires obviously have pride in getting calls right. They know they're not going to be right 100% of the time, but they got that one right. So good on them. And we'll keep you updated tonight. Game two of that Brewers-Dodgers game is set to take place this evening. That's going to get started in just about an hour or so in Milwaukee. Yamamoto going for the Dodgers. Freddie Peralta making the start for the Brewers tonight. And you wouldn't say it's a must-win for the Brewers, but they certainly do not want to be down 2-0 going back to Los Angeles. A really, really important game for Milwaukee. If the Dodgers can come away with the victory, that's going to be a good win for them, and that's going to set them up as they are set to return home. So that's kind of an idea of everything that's going to be going on. We may continue on with the Mike Schilt conversation a bit as well. We certainly talked through that a lot yesterday. There was a bit more information that came out today. There was an article in The Athletic that got more, because yesterday, not that yesterday was like conspiracy theory theater or anything like that, but we certainly presented, and I wouldn't back off anything that I said yesterday. I still think there is a legitimate possibility that there is more to this story, and maybe it was more of a mutual thing than just a Schilt decision. But even if it wasn't, if it was or if it wasn't, it doesn't make some of the things that have been reported today true, not true, more impactful, less impactful. We talked about it during Rush Hour Sports a little bit. Schilt said that he was getting things like death threats, and he connected that to sports gambling, which is just terrible. Nobody should be getting death threats, period. How did that ever become a thing? Like, I know it's connected to social media, which at times can just be such a toxic place. But how did it escalate this quickly, this fast? Guy has a bad performance in a game. What happens? He gets death threats. It's always death threats. It is ridiculous, and it happens. It happens way too often. It's the anonymity of social media, which is absolutely terrible. Look, I have things said to me on social media and on the text line and things like that come through that at times can rattle me, and I am nowhere near somebody with the spotlight of a professional athlete or a manager. So I can't even start to imagine, start to think about the type of messages and the type of things that end up coming to those individuals. So I feel really bad for Mike Schilt in that situation, that he was getting those type of things, which is just completely and 100% uncalled for. So we'll try to touch on the Schilt conversation. Obviously, we'll talk with Mike Farron about Major League Baseball in about 20 minutes, and we'll run the whole Schilt situation by him and see what he has to say. But up next, we are going to talk NFL football. Look forward to having Aaron Schatz. He's going to be with us in just a moment or so. Don't go anywhere. This is the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Back at as we roll on, it is a Graybar Sports Open Line. I'll tell you what, this is one of my favorite people to be able to talk football with. Very happy to welcome on to the show. He is the Chief Analytics Officer with FTN Fantasy. He is Aaron Schatz. You follow him on Twitter at A-Schatz. That's S-C-H-A-T-Z-N-F-L. Aaron, thanks for taking a few moments with us tonight. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing well, man. How are you guys?
Doing all right. I know you're a guy that's I was like kind of going through an NFL rundown with you, and I generally start with the Philadelphia Eagles because I know you're certainly around them and everything. And 4-2, but two losses in a row these last two games, including a really surprising loss in New York against the Giants. It feels like this is one of these things with the Eagles where maybe early on in the season things don't look quite the way that you think they're going to look, and they always seem to figure it out as the year goes along. Is it more of the same for them, or are these problems maybe more real at this point?
I think it's somewhere in between. The fact is that they lost some people off of last year's defense, and they haven't really been able to replace them. The big one is Darius Slay at second cornerback. They're having real problems with Adoree Jackson and Kelee Ringo at second cornerback. But also the offensive line has some injuries. And as far as the offense, you know, during the regular season last year, we were not talking about the Eagles like this was a great offense. So for their passing game to have some struggles is really no different than it was last year. It's just the struggles of the running game that's different.
Maybe there's not any truth to this, but it feels like, and this is not just an Eagles saying, there are certainly other teams that this happens to them. It feels like there's teams that everything's going well, and then all of a sudden they play a game and they're exposed, and then everybody else tries to take advantage of that. Like, they play that game against the Broncos, and it felt like Broncos maybe exposed them a little bit, and then all of a sudden the Giants come in and take care of business. Is that just how good these coaches are in the NFL, that if a team is going to have some deficiencies, once they get found out, other teams do a really good job of taking advantage?
Sure, but I don't think that the Broncos game exposed the problem. I think we knew that Kelee Ringo and Adoree Jackson were a problem before the Broncos game, because the fact is that the Eagles started 4-0 with very close wins. They were not like beating teams by a lot. So we knew what the problems were. The Broncos were just able to attack those problems enough to win the game, and then the Giants just had a really good night, which happens sometimes. I'm definitely a fan of taking the long view in the NFL. I mean, people tend to overreact to a single game, a single half, even a single drive. When you have to remember, we have the knowledge of 5 weeks before this week, and we'll have the knowledge of 10 weeks after it.
So how do you evaluate what's going on with Buffalo then? Because they're a team that they played a really tough game against the Patriots where they just come up short, but then they end up losing to the Falcons last night, which I think was a little bit of a surprise. And we heard their coach talk about trying to use this bye week to basically tear everything down and restart from ground zero for them. When you hear things like that, what do you think is going to happen with a team that is still considered the favorite to win the Super Bowl?
I think with the offense, Josh Allen had an off night, and it happens, and they'll be fine in the long run. I think the defense has serious problems. Now, I mean, we thought the defense would be better than this going into the season. And here's the thing. You learn more about offense early in the season than you do about defense, because defense is less consistent and predictable than offense is. So the Bills could come back to medium on defense. But right now, I mean, my numbers have them 26th. Hmm. So it's a bad defense, and they're having problems being both slow and small, and that's a bad combination.
What do you mentioned the fact that defense is a lot more of a variable, and it can move around. Historically, when you look at teams in recent years, who are the organizations that are good at being the most consistent with who they are defensively?
Oh, that's a tough one. I mean, the funny thing is, one of the answers would be Baltimore. And Baltimore's defense is horrible this year. Houston, for the last couple of years, certainly has been fantastic on defense, but that's only for a couple of years. you know, Cleveland was fantastic on defense 2 years ago, lousy last year. Now they're back to being really good again. There really aren't organizations over the last few years that are consistently good on defense year after year. Maybe Pittsburgh comes the closest. Pittsburgh's, you know, always got a good defense.
Are you buying in on the Steelers at 4-1 right now?
I think we kind of have to. I think their offense has turned out to be medium, which, given that their defense is good and in the division that they're in with the Ravens having all the injury problems, is a good thing. You know, I don't think they're finishing with 13 wins or something, but I think the Steelers look good right now.
It helps that they play in a division that right now. But the amazing thing, I was looking at the odds, it wasn't until this past weekend with the Ravens losing and the Steelers winning that those two teams finally flipped in terms of who was the favorite for the division. Even going into this past weekend, Baltimore was still considered the favorite in the division, which I thought was kind of crazy.
Their schedule gets much easier after their bye week, much easier. And Lamar Jackson should be back, and some of their defensive players should be back. And they're going to be a totally different team. They're going to be a really good team again. I think the Ravens absolutely have a chance to make the playoffs.
We're talking with Aaron Schatz, Chief Analytics Officer with the FT and Fantasy. Somehow we've gone this far without talking about the Kansas City Chiefs. I had to kind of chuckle a little bit because they're still only 3-3, and you watch them, and there's obviously some things that don't look great about them. But after them kind of, you know, some people were writing them off. All of a sudden, they once again have the second best Super Bowl odds in the NFL. And some books have them tied with the Bills for the best odds. And they're a 3-3 team. I don't know if that win against the Lions showed people something. I don't know if it's just the state of the NFL right now. But all of a sudden, people seem to be very high on the Chiefs once again.
Last year, the Chiefs had a number of wins where they didn't actually play that well, but they won the game anyway. This year is the opposite. They've had losses where they played well, but lost the game anyway. They are better than their 3-3 record. Their offense in particular, I have their offense number 2 in the league behind Indianapolis. Their defense has been mid, but the offense has been great, and they're getting Rashee Rice back this week. So their offense should continue to be one of the top in the league. So absolutely, the Chiefs are very dangerous.
Are the Packers the best team in the NFC?
I don't think so. I think that Detroit is still the best team in the NFC. I think Seattle has played very well this year. I think the Rams are very strong. The Packers have this tendency to play with their food. Like, when they have games they should be winning by a lot, they don't. Like the Bengals, they should have clobbered them, and they didn't. And, you know, until they mature a little bit, the Packers are always going to be a little questionable because of that tendency.
Is that Cowboys game from a couple weeks ago that they ended up tying 40-40, is that the greatest example of that, where they should have easily won that game and then they kind of messed around a little bit, and then all of a sudden, next thing you know, they've got a tie, and that could certainly impact where they're at in their playoff seeding at the end of the year?
No, it's the loss to Cleveland that's the best example.
Okay. Yeah, 13-10, that's a good point. Last thing for you, we mentioned the Cowboys. It seems like they're more of a mess than anything else. They'll want to tell you that they're going to be okay, but a loss to the Carolina Panthers did not look good. You look at their two wins, they're against teams that are not especially good. Is there any reason to think that this can be a good Cowboys team this season?
Yes. If I'm right about defense being less predictable and less consistent than offense, then what they have is a very good offense and a defense that's probably not going to be this bad all year. So that is the reason for some hope. But if the defense continues to play this badly all year, yeah, they're not going to make the playoffs.
Before we let you go, can you give a plug for FT and Fantasy? You do so much content for them. It's you look at your Twitter account and just certainly so many things that people can take advantage of. A great opportunity to take a look at the NFL in a different way, but also get help with your fantasy team. Give a bit of a shout-out and what people can expect over at FT and Fantasy.
Yeah, we've got award-winning fantasy projections from Jeff Radcliffe. We've got betting advice. We've got all of my DVOA stats. And if you're a subscriber to the Stats Hub, you get all of my DVOA stats with all kinds of splits, like play action or not play action, blitz or not blitz, man coverage versus zone coverage. You can really see player and team tendencies to see what matchups look like going into every game.
Very, very good. He is Aaron Schatz. You follow him on Twitter at AschatzNFL. Again, FTN Fantasy is the site. They do great work. Aaron, thank you so much for the time, and hopefully we can catch up with you again down the line.
All right. Have a good night, guys.
All right. Very good. That's Aaron Schatz joining us, and we appreciate him taking a few moments with us. We're going to shift gears, and we're going to talk some baseball coming up in just a moment. Speaking of people that we really enjoy talking with, we love being able to talk with Mike Farron from MLB Network Radio. Looking forward to seeing what he's thinking about the MLB playoffs and get his insight. That's coming up in just a moment. Don't go anywhere as we roll on. It's the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauly on KMOX.
We are back at it, taking you until 8 o'clock this evening. The baseball playoffs right in the middle of the championship series. And so far, it's been a pretty good playoff run, and we're very happy to welcome on one of our absolute favorite people to be able to talk baseball with. He is Mike Farron. You listen to him on MLB Network Radio at Mike_Farron on social media. Mike, appreciate you taking some time. How are you?
I'm good. I don't want to make you jealous, but it's 82 degrees here. Absolutely perfect weather, and I'm just leaving an Arizona Fall League game. So everything is great.
Have you seen the Arizona Fall League is always very intriguing. I've always wanted to go down for it. I haven't been able to do so. Anybody who is part of the Cardinals organization stuck out to you in those games?
This was the first one I was at. Travis Honeyman was hitting second for Glendale. The outfielder from Boston College made a really nice defensive play, a diving catch in center field. At-bats were all right, but there wasn't a ton that the Cardinals had to offer today. So I'm excited to see more of those guys, and this is really a great experience. If you're looking for great weather and really good high-level prospect-y baseball, the Arizona Fall League's the best.
Yeah, I think, you know, a lot of people who make their annual trips to spring training don't think so much about Arizona Fall League, but it is probably another baseball destination that I think Cardinals fans would like to check out.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, everything is so close together, right? There's six ballparks at Osit, and none are more than 45 minutes apart, and on most days, you could see two games in a day really easily because they're close together and they usually start at like 1:30 and 6:30 out here. So it's like if you're a baseball fan and you've not done the Fall League, it's worth it. It is so much fun. It's like old school spring training, like back in the day from like when we were kids, Matt, when it was like, you know, 500 people showing up at spring training games before it became this giant, kind of like corporate moneymaker that spring training is now. So it's great quality baseball, and you get to know something that your friends don't in terms of being able to see prospects, and you can be like, yeah, I think Honeyman's got a chance, right? Like, so anything that you can do to brag on your friends or to make them think that you know more than they do is always a real positive.
We're talking with Mike Farron from MLB Network Radio. We'll get into the games in just a moment, but yesterday, big news that certainly sent shockwaves through St. Louis, and that former Cardinals manager Mike Schilt retired from his job managing the Padres. When you heard that news and maybe even the details that have come out since, what's been your takeaway on all this?
Yeah, I was stunned just because I know how much Mike loves baseball and how much he loved being a manager. And the more that you read his comments, and he's going to actually, Lance Lynn and I are working together tomorrow. Mike's coming on with us on our show. Like, the more you read his comments, I think the more you understood where he was coming from. The stress was really getting to him. Like, there's a lot of stress in the Padres organization right now. He was having trouble eating and sleeping, and you know, he said he was losing his hair. He just was not having a good time doing it. And then on top of it, and you know, this is the unfortunate reality to the downside of sports gaming being legal in a lot of spots in the U.S. is that there are a lot more people that are participating and feel that they can threaten people and their families as a result, as opposed to taking accountability for their own actions. And that was part of what drove Mike there. And you know, like, no manager should be getting death threats. It's just baseball, for crying out loud, you know? So I think that part, once you start to read the explanations, to hear what he has to say, you understand why he did it. And listen, he's retiring from managing the Padres. He said in The Athletic today that he wasn't going to be pursuing a big league job. but there is no way that I believe that Mike Shield is done with baseball. And I've been stumping the last 2 days, and I'll tell him this when we have him on tomorrow too. I think if Mike Shield wanted to be a Division I baseball coach, he'd be one of the best in the country. You know, he's got experience as an assistant at UNC Charlotte before he joined the Cardinals organization. I think he would be able to have a massive impact on the collegiate game.
Okay, so whenever we talk about like the NFL versus college football, in many ways NFL jobs are easier because you don't have to deal with recruiting and things like that. How would you, as somebody who's so connected in with the college game, how much easier would a college baseball job be in terms of all that? Is it just less pressure because there's less of a spotlight on it?
I think it's probably less the spotlight. I don't think it's less time consuming. And you know, Mike, I mean, work ethic certainly isn't an issue with Mike Shildt, right? So I think it's more, and as a head coach, you're kind of the president, CEO, and general manager of your program. So yeah, there are some things that take you away from the family, recruiting efforts, although a lot of that is done at, you know, kind of big showcase events where you see a bunch of people at the same time. You have to do that. You do have to run fall ball practice and all of that, but you're at home for a good chunk of it. And especially if you're at a Power Four, you're not really traveling outside of conference play except for maybe one weekend in February. So I think there is a quality of life that is better with it. And, you know, talking to coaches who have had experience. So like Wes Johnson is the head coach at the University of Georgia. He's a former pitching coach for the Minnesota Twins. He likes the quality of life that comes with college better than he liked the quality of life of the constant travel for 6 months that came with Major League Baseball. I know that there have been people like Kirk Sarlos, who's the former big league pitcher, is the head coach at TCU. When he was the pitching coach there, he turned down opportunities to work for major league teams because the quality of life was better in college ball than it was in the pros. So I think it's just a different. There are certainly requirements of you that you have that are different in the college game, but I think that it's a little bit more relaxed. The spotlight is different, even if you're coaching in the SEC, which is, you know, like that's the major leagues of college baseball. It's a completely different beast than coaching or managing in Major League Baseball. It's a third as many games. Like there is more downtime. I think it's a really good fit, and it's a chance to teach. And I think at his heart, Mike Shildt's a teacher, right? Like that's, he was a teacher. It's a, oh, I think all of that would kind of factor in my thought of where it would be great to see him end up. Because I know things weren't always smooth with the Cardinals and with the front office and with the coaching staff. And I know that was the case, you know, at least with the coaching staff at times in San Diego. But man, that guy knows baseball. He knows how to teach, and players really like him and respect him.
I've always college baseball is in an interesting spot right now, because I thought if you're an SEC baseball player and you're making a few bucks through your NIL deal and you've got a chance to go play in one of those amazing SEC ballparks, or you go pro, like, and I say this as somebody who spent 2 years working in the Midwest League, I know those ballparks. I'd rather be pitching in the SEC or playing in the SEC than I would in the Midwest League. It, to me, college baseball is a real opportunity to take advantage of some of the resources right now.
Yeah, I agree, and I think they are for the most part. I think you're seeing it further down in the draft, either from players that aren't drafted or that have turned down money in the draft, that have gone back to school, and in some cases some higher profile picks. Listen, the money in NIL for college baseball is minuscule compared to what it is in, you know, football or even basketball. You know, like those who bought into the House settlement and revenue sharing, like I know, like University of Arizona is a great example of this, right? Like they're getting 1% of the revenues, right? Like that's not a whole lot of money, but it's a little bit. And you're right when you're talking about the difference between, you know, playing in Peoria, which, you know, it's a great ballpark, right? Peoria, a lot of history. But playing there in April in front of, you know, what, maybe 3,000 fans on a Tuesday night, or playing for Mississippi State and playing, I don't know, let's say Lamar on a Tuesday night at Duty Noble in front of 13,000. Like, there is a little bit different aspect. If, like, the money matters and getting your pro chance matters. But, like, if you're looking for cool environments, yeah, the top-flight college programs certainly have them.
We're talking with Mike Farron, just a couple more minutes with him. What did you make of the incredible 8-6-2 double play that was turned last night in that Brewers-Dodgers game?
I mean, there was so much that happened in it, right?
Yeah.
Like, two perfect relay throws, a real gaffe from Teoscar Hernandez, not knowing or not remembering the rule. You know, if you're tagging up, you can leave the base once the ball touches the outfielder's glove. So he didn't have to go back and re-tag. That's why they were able to get the force out. The heads-up play of William Contreras to run to third to get the other force out there. The ridiculousness that, because we've never seen anything like this before, that it has to be scored as a grounded into double
yeah.
play, even though the ball never hit the ground, right? Like the last time I saw a ball hit 400 feet on the ground was the last time I whipped a tee shot. You know, like, it was crazy. It was awesome. It was great. And as I was talking to my buddy John Bishop at Omaha this morning, great radio show, I was there, and he was saying, he's like, yo, cool plays like that on, like, a Tuesday against the Pirates are one thing. He's like, cool plays like that in a postseason series take out a completely different feel. And I couldn't agree with him more. Like, that really was unique because of where it happened, too.
I appreciate the fact that the umpires are right on top of it. That's not an easy play to get right, so they deserve a lot of credit, too.
Absolutely, absolutely. And called it right away, and,
yeah.
like, to the chagrin of the base runners, right? And, like, the base runners, here's the thing is that, like, the base runners outside of Hernandez did the right thing, right? They're going three-quarters of the way on a fly ball with one out, and then they think it's caught, so they're retreating a tag. But the problem is that when they turn to run back, they can't see the umpire's signal, right? They see the ball pop up in the air. They see it caught. They can't see it because they're running back to the base. They can't be looking over their shoulder. So, like, all of that. Even there's little things. Like, I know Jason Stark wrote about this today, that there was concern that Max Muncy had passed Tommy Edmund at first base, right? Like, that would be another place for an out. I went back and watched the high home. All of a sudden, Muncy had the awareness, seeing Edmund coming back, that he was like, hey, wait a second. Like, this looks like it's in play the way the ball is going. And he steps up the foul line to make sure that he never gets more than even with Edmund. Like, there was so much baseball awareness going on in that play. Like, all the little parts of it were great.
Last thing for you, the Mariners are up 2-0. That Sunday game, coming off that epic game that they had against mm-hmm. Detroit, that's almost a scheduled loss when you've used so much pitching and everything. They go into Toronto, they find a way to win that game, and then they win both. I mean, this is an incredible run that the Mariners are on right now, and it's really impressive in so many ways.
Yeah, so what's really funny is that 30 years ago they were in a similar situation. You may remember they won in extra innings in Game 5 of the American League Division Series against the Yankees, right? That was what helped them get a stadium built in Seattle, right? And it kind of saved the franchise there. That was Edgar Martinez double and Griffey diving across the plate. And then they had to fly to Cleveland and 2 days later play Game 1. And a little different than Bryce Miller, who was a very good pitcher as a rookie and who struggled this year, but a guy named Bob Walcott made his 7th big league appearance in that game, or 8th big league appearance, and ended up throwing up like 7 innings of 2-run ball against a really good Cleveland lineup that had Manny Ramirez and Albert Bell and Jim Thome and, right, like, these Hall of Fame level talents, and Robbie Albar. And so he shut them down for that. So it was almost like history repeating itself. Now, the Mariners lost that championship series to Cleveland. They're in a much better position now. And I guarantee you, like, T-Mobile Park is going to be raucous tomorrow night. My in-laws live in Seattle. My brother-in-law is there. My nephew is a huge Mariners fan. That place is going to be incredible tomorrow night because they're just going to – the energy is there. This is a franchise that has never been to the World Series. They're the only one that hasn't. They've never been closer than they are right now. They have 5 chances to win 2 games and get to the World Series. It is a really cool story.
He is our friend Mike Farron, part of the team at MLB Network Radio. Mike, thank you for the time. We'll see you at the winter meetings here in a couple months or so. Always look forward to that. But enjoy the postseason, enjoy the fall league, and we'll see you in a couple months.
Matt, always a pleasure. I'll talk to you soon.
Awesome. Very good. That's Mike Farron joining us. We love being able to spend a few moments with him. We'll take a break in just a moment. We'll take a break right now. We'll be back in just a moment as we roll on with the Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Gray Bar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauly on KMOX.
Taking you through 8 o'clock, so we've got you for another hour and 7 minutes here on KMOX. It is the Gray Bar Sports Open Line. As always, if you want to chime in on anything that we happen to be talking about, you can do so 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. That's how you call or text. You can also tweet at me, at Matt Pauly on air. We're going to talk with Sam Levitt from the Padres Radio Network. He's going to join us in about 10 minutes or so after the 7 o'clock news. Want to get the thoughts from San Diego on the Mike Schilt news. I still think that's a pretty big deal. People around here continue to be very interested. I'll tell you, on the text messages and the messages on the stream, there's a lot of people continuing to ask Mike Schilt questions. A lot of people wondering, hey, now that John Mozeliak is gone, is there a chance that Mike Schilt returns to the Cardinals? In fact, we got a text from 314. It says, do you think Mike Schilt will return to the Cardinals now that Mo is gone? And what I would like is like more clarification on that question. If the question is, do you think that Mike Schilt will return to be the Cardinals manager now that Mo is gone? The answer is no. I do not. Not now and probably not in the future. And the Cardinals have a manager who they're very comfortable with and very happy with the job that he's doing. And I don't know enough about how Chaim Bloom views things and the relationships he has, that if he does have a managerial opening to fill at some point, who he would be looking at. The second part of that question, though, is there a place in the organization for a Mike Schilt with John Mozeliak not around? It comes back to the relationship side of things. I have zero feeling whatsoever on how Chaim feels about Mike Schilt. But if this is Schilt's not done in baseball, and I'm not even convinced he's done as a major league manager for that matter. I don't think he's going to be managing next year. In fact, I'd be surprised if he's managing in the next 2 or 3 years. But I think there's a pretty good chance that that itch might come back at some point in time. And if it does, you would think he would have the opportunities to pursue those kind of jobs. But in the meantime, maybe not this year, but moving forward, you think he'd be involved in baseball? And we know the reverence that he has for the St. Louis Cardinals, and we know the philosophical differences that came between him and the team, I think, were connected to John Mozeliak. Now, there's a lot of people from the Mozeliak front office that are still around. I don't know all of that. I don't know enough about the relationship between or the feelings about Schilt from a Chaim, if there'd be a place for him to be in the organization. I don't think it's happening anytime soon. That's not something that with the... You don't want Schilt back in the organization when there's the pressure that exists there on Ollie and just the fan reaction. But long-term, could something happen? Maybe. I wouldn't close the door to that. It's a Gray Bar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Oh, hey, love your shoes. If you're hearing this is your sign to try those on. Trust us, you can totally pull them off. In fact, try on every shoe here if you want. We won't stop you. In our house, you've got unlimited freedom to play. And hey, fall is the perfect season to do, wear, be whatever you want. And with tons of shoes that get you at prices that get your budget, we'll give you something to brag about. So go ahead, try them on. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards.
True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Welcome back to the Gray Bar Sports Open Live. Once again, Matt Pauly on King of OX.
Back as we get into hour number two of the program, Los St. Louis Blues talk this hour. We're going to talk with Luke Korak in about 15 minutes. We'll hear from Blues coach Jim Montgomery later on this hour as well. Blues back at tomorrow at home against Chicago after a very good road trip, winning a couple games up in Canada. But right now, we're continuing to talk through some surprising news that came out of San Diego yesterday. Former Cardinals manager Mike Schilt making the decision to retire as the Padres manager. And we're very happy to welcome on to the show right now. He does pre and post on Padres radio. And a guy who's got some ties here to St. Louis as well, but part of the team at 97.3 The Fan in San Diego. He is Sammy Levitt. You follow him on Twitter at Sammy Lev. Sam, always good to get a few moments with you. How are you?
No, good to be with you. Always good to be back on the air on the St. Louis airwaves, and hope everybody's doing well in St. Louis, yourself included.
Appreciate that. How surprised were you when the news came down that Mike Schilt made the decision to move away from that job?
Yeah, I was very surprised. I think, that would be the emotion of, I think, a lot of us who cover the team and obviously the fan base as well. I mean, St. Louis fans know Mike Schilt very well. This is a manager that obviously had a lot of success in St. Louis and had a lot of success here in San Diego. You're talking about back-to-back 90-plus win seasons here, back-to-back postseason appearances. The endings weren't exactly what he or the Padres would have wanted, but, you know, when you win 90 or more games in your two seasons at the helm, especially coming off what was a very disappointing 2023 season in San Diego with the expectations that team had, I think obviously, my expectation was that Mike was going to return. He had, multiple years left on his contract. So for all those reasons, when we all woke up yesterday morning and saw the news as first reported in the San Diego Union Tribune that he was stepping away and retiring as Padres manager, I was very, very, very surprised. And I think many of us were.
I've seen some writing saying that if you looked hard, you could have seen this coming just with the emotional toll that this game was taking on him. And there were signs of that, especially in the postseason. Did you notice that at all?
No, I didn't. Look, I think Mike is somebody who, being around him day to day, he's obviously somebody, and you guys know this in St. Louis, somebody who pours his heart and soul into his ball club and cares a great deal, cares about the people, cares about the players and his staff and the fans and everybody associated with it. So, I think he wrote it in his letter yesterday to the newspaper. It's just a job that started to take a toll on him, emotionally and physically and mentally. And he felt like it was his time to step away and sounds like focus on some different priorities. So, no, to answer your question, Matt, I did not expect it. I didn't see anything particularly out of the ordinary. Obviously, he's somebody who cares, who is somebody who will get up there on the podium after the game. And, you can just tell how much each game means to him, how much his players mean to him. But, I think you could say that about a lot of managers, right? I mean, all these guys obviously have very close relationships with their ball club and care deeply about what they do. So, I wouldn't call it anything out of the ordinary to me that stood out. But hearing what Mike had to say yesterday and, you know, what AJ Preller had to say earlier today, this is, you know, clearly, his decision and what he wanted to do. And obviously it was just a job on 162 game season and postseason and, you know, all the things that come with it, that was taking its toll, and he felt like it was his time to step away.
I'll ask you to speculate a little bit, and maybe there's not much more to say here, but you mentioned the endings that left something to be desired each of the last 2 years. While I know Schilt was going to be back and be given that opportunity, do you get any sense that he and AJ Preller were having some tough conversations about what it would look like, whether it was staffing decisions or roster decisions? Like, was there still some stuff to work through there?
No, I really don't. I mean, I know it's you know, maybe easy to jump to those conclusions when you have a situation like this with a manager that's had a lot of success and has time left on his deal. And look, there's no doubt the Padres have gone through a lot of managers under AJ Preller. You know, whether you want to go from Andy Green to Jace Tingler to Bob Melvin, who had success and had a disappointing season, then jumps to the Giants, and then Mike Schilt coming in, and now he's gone after 2 years. There's no way around it. They've had a lot of different guys in that manager's seat, you know, in just a decade plus under AJ Preller. But you know, the more that, you know, Mike talks about this, the more that AJ Preller talked about this earlier today, you know, AJ said he wasn't aware of any internal conflict that contributed to this. And, you know, Mike took some time away after the season back in North Carolina and, you know, came back and told the team his intentions and what he wanted to do. I really don't get the sense that there's much else at play here. I really don't. The more that you hear about this, and I think you really think about just the circumstances, the fact that he did a good job here, there were multiple years left on his deal, money left on his deal. Now, this sounds like really and truly a decision that Mike made for himself. So I don't think there were other factors at play. That's really not the sense I get from everything that's being said.
Obviously, a very disappointing part of this is the revelation that death threats, and that seems to be connected to sports gambling. I mean, that's a thing that unfortunately exists in sports now, but I think we both can agree that's something that should not exist in sports right now.
Yeah, absolutely should not exist in sports. And it was really disheartening to hear that, you know, and here he was receiving things like that. It's terrible, and it shouldn't happen at any level in any sport to anybody. So I'm right there with you. It was disheartening to hear that, and it's certainly behavior that should be unacceptable, you know, from any fans towards any players, coaches, managers. At the end of the day, it's just sports, and this is just a game. So that was disheartening to hear, and obviously you hope nothing like that happens again.
Last thing for you, and I know it's very early in the process, but where do you expect the Padres to go in this? Is this an outside hire in all likelihood? Are there people inside the organization that can pick up the mantle and run with it? What are you expecting to see as they look for a new manager?
Yeah, it's a great question, Matt. I'm not totally sure what direction they're going to go in right now. To me, it's such a unique situation on a couple of different levels. Number one, it's unique because, you know, out of nowhere, really, Mike is no longer in this job. I think when you look at the vacancies right now across Major League Baseball, this is not like pretty much all the other ones where you're going to be walking into sort of a rebuilding situation, a young team. I mean, this is a team that has won 90-plus games the last 2 years. This is a team that has major stars. This is a team that has high expectations. It's a ballpark that sold out 72 times this season. The fans love this team, and they're trying desperately to bring a World Series to San Diego. So this is not, you know, like your typical vacancy. I mean, you're going to walk in and you're going to have Manny Machado and Fernando Tatis Jr. and Xander Bogaerts and Joe Musgrove and Yu Darvish and all these big stars on big contracts in the building and in the locker room, and a team that will expect to go to the playoffs and is trying desperately to take that next step as a group. So I think it's a fascinating question. I don't have a great feel right now for what direction they'll go in. I think internally there are candidates. They've got a guy in Ruben Niebla who is widely regarded as one of the best pitching coaches in the game. Would he be a candidate? I think you have to wonder that. Obviously, their bench coach, Brian Esposito. There are some names in the front office side of things that, you know, that are former players that I think, you know, could be part of the process. But, you know, I would fully expect that you're going to hear some names that are not part of the organization, because typically that's how AJ Preller does things. Everything is very thorough, and they will listen to a lot of different voices as part of the process. And also, we've seen AJ do a lot of different things. We've seen him hire first-time managers. We've seen him now hire Bob Melvin and Mike Schilt. Mike, remember, was part of the organization in more of an advisory role before he got the manager's job when Bob Melvin left. So, you know, Matt, they've done a lot of different things when they've hired for this job. But I do think it's a very unique position, because this is not a rebuild. This is not a group where you're walking in and you've got a bunch of 20-something-year-olds and you can, you know, and you're just kind of molding whatever you want. I mean, this is a situation where the expectations are going to be very high, and you've got big time veterans inside that clubhouse. So it is a very interesting hire, and a very important hire for this team.
He is Sam Levitt, pre- and post-game on Padres Radio and 97.3 The Fan in San Diego, on Twitter at Sammy L-E-V, Sammy Lev. Sam, appreciate the time as always, and we'll find for reasons to catch up with you again here in the future.
All right, sounds good. Enjoy the offseason. Appreciate it.
All right, you too. Thank you. That's Sam Levitt joining us from San Diego as he does pre-post with the Padres, and they're all trying to figure out where the Padres are going to go now moving forward with Mike Schilt moving into retirement from that position. We are going to shift gears. We'll talk Blues for most of the rest of the show now. They're back in action tomorrow night. Had a good Canadian road trip, winning a couple games. We'll talk with Luke Korak in just a moment. Don't go anywhere. It's Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauly on KMOX.
We're going to be talking a lot of St. Louis Blues between now and 8 o'clock. They're going to be back at tomorrow evening. They've got a late game tomorrow night at the Enterprise Center as they welcome in the Chicago Blackhawks. They are coming off a Canadian road trip where they beat the Flames 4-2 and then followed that up with a 5-2 win against Vancouver. And we're very happy to welcome on to the program right now. Always gracious with our time, with his time, excuse me. He is Luke Korak. You can read him all over the place. He does work with both the Hockey News and also with NHL.com. As I mentioned, Luke Korak is with us. Lou, thanks for taking some time. How are you?
I'm good, Matt. I'm always looking forward to two Midwest teams dropping the puck at 8:52 tomorrow.
you think that might be a juiced up environment tomorrow night, or is it going to be a tired environment?
You know what? When the Chicago Blackhawks are in town, no matter what, I think there's always a little bit of added spice to it. Yeah. So as much as those in attendance might groan about it, and we all do, because I'm already imagining, 1, 2 o'clock in the morning when I'm walking out of the building tomorrow night. But it should be, they can say, we're not going to go to the game. They're going to be at the game.
Yeah, and I like what Jim Montgomery did, where they came back from Vancouver. He got them on the ice earlier today, had a spirited practice from what we understand, but then guys are going to be able to sleep a little bit tomorrow before coming to the rink late. Feels like that's a pretty good setup for this situation, coming off a lot of travel and then playing a late game at home.
Yeah, you know what? And I had a chance to ask Matthew Joseph about that today. It's one of those situations where, you know, I know back in the day, and, you know, I can go back years with this, but back in the day, nobody really looked into the analytics, the logistics and all that stuff. The 2-hour time difference, everybody just kind of shook it off and said, okay, well, it's the next day, let's go, you know, but it's just so much different now. And I'm telling you, I've seen it where, many a times where a team is coming back off of that West Coast trip, and, you know, there's rarely that next day game. I know the Blues had a situation once where they had mechanical problems in Vancouver and couldn't get back until the next day. And then they had to play the San Jose Sharks, but that's a story for another day. But you're trying to get your body clock back. And I think instead of just letting these guys go home and just not come to the ring today, probably it's come to the point where it's a bad idea, because a lot of times the guys will come to the rink the next day, they're flat-footed, they're flat in their game, and it takes them a while to get into the flow again and just to get their body clocks going again. So I think they wanted to just get out there. It was about 20 minutes It was swift. It was brisk. Get the legs going again. And they're going to do the same thing again tomorrow, but just enough where it's not overtiring. It's not overtaxing. Just to keep the game legs going while you're letting your body clocks catch back up, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. And, you know, it's a baseball comparison, so it doesn't always fit. But I can tell you, back when I was doing minor league baseball and we're traveling on buses and everything, when you had those tough travel days, it wasn't the first day in that stunk. It was the second day where you had no legs whatsoever. So trying to avoid that, so almost playing on the second day after that travel, in many ways can be worse than playing on that first day back in.
Well, and the Chicago Blackhawks played at home last night, so they're already here. They're already in their comfortable time zone, which is, you know, the central time zone. The Blues have been in Calgary and in Vancouver, so we're talking, what, 3-4 days where, you know, they had to adjust going there. But now, being there, you do enough just to adjust being in that time zone again, and now you've got to come back to your own comforts once again, and they're going to be here for 4 games now. So that's just basically what it was all about. It's just obviously catching up to the body clocks again, but keeping the legs going again. Matthew Joseph said the same thing. It's good just to keep, instead of just coming in, a lot of times what they used to just have them do is, you know, the guys would stay off the ice, but they'll come in and get a workout anyway. But I think in this situation, just to get on the ice is probably best for these guys because it keeps them in the flow.
So the season did not end when they lost 5-0 to the Wild on opening night. Instead, they go and have a really nice road trip, putting up 9 goals between the Flames and the Canucks. And some nice things happened in each of those games. And we'll start with the game against the Flames, where Jake Neighbors scores a couple goals in that contest. And he's already somebody that's moved around a little bit here on the lines, and seems like he's fitting in quite well there on that top line.
Well, he's an engine, Matt. Let's be honest with you. And you really, I'll tell you what, you know who he reminds me a lot of? He reminds me of when TJ Oshie was here. Hmm. Ken Hitchcock used to do this a lot with TJ Oshie when he felt like he needed a spark on a line. And I'm not saying that Jim Montgomery is doing it in this situation because he's feeling like that Robert Thomas and Pavel Buchnevich need a spark. I think this is more for balance purposes, to be honest with you. But Ken Hitchcock used to do this with TJ Oshie. If he felt like a line needed a boost, he's taking number 74 and putting them on their line. Hmm. If another line needed a boost, 74 is going there. That's kind of what the way Jake Neighbors is playing right now. And he's playing with a high motor. He's playing hard. He's doing the things that maybe will free those two up away from doing, especially a Robert Thomas, because you don't want Robert Thomas to be that F1 to be in on the forecheck and winning pucks back. You want to get the puck to Robert Thomas to where he's either going to thread the needle to you or he's in a position to shoot the puck, because this is the guy that's going to produce the points for you. Not saying that you don't want Robert Thomas working hard, but I think you want more of a worker bee in there. And I think that's the best way I can describe Jake Neighbors. He's the guy that's going to get in front of the net. He's the guy that's going to take the punishment. And I just think that this has kind of been a carryover from his training camp as well, which obviously got started a few days late because of the death of his best friend. That's obviously, he's got a heavy heart from that, but he's deserved it. And it's no demotion again to Jimmy Snuggerud, but look at the impact that Jimmy Snuggerud had on that third line last night with Pugh Suter and with Matthew Joseph. And something that I'm going to want to talk to all three of these guys about. I got a chance to talk to Matthew Joseph about that today. And the best way that he described it is Matthew Joseph feels like he's kind of the engine of that line, the guy that's going to go out and do the work. You've got Pugh Suter, who's kind of the Swiss Army knife, who's in the right positions and plays hard and does the right things. And then you've got the skilled guy like Jimmy Snuggerud. So all the pieces to the puzzle kind of fit together. So it was a really good game for Jimmy Snuggerud last night. He can kind of be that guy. He can kind of be that guy that's kind of the lead general of that line, because you're going to look at the three of them and say, well, who do you want to be the guy that's going to be the catalyst and score out of this line? Well, of course, Jimmy Snuggerud. And, you know, maybe as opposed to playing with Robert Thomas and Pavel Buchnevich, I'm not going to say that he is deferring, but maybe he's thinking a little bit. Instead of reacting, he's thinking a little bit more. So I think that's basically what's behind all of this. And it looked really good last night, and it was their best game of the season so far.
Yeah, it did. And I was going to ask you about Snuggerud because he had the two goals last night. I was watching that first goal that he scored, and I wasn't totally sure how he even got that shot off. And we talk a lot in basketball about guys who can create their own shot. We don't use that term very often in hockey, but it feels like Snuggerud is that guy who can find a way to get a legit shot off from some kind of uncomfortable angles and uncomfortable spots. I just looked at that first goal yesterday, and I don't think there's a lot of guys who score that goal in that moment.
They don't. And another former Blue that I can compare that to and that I have compared that to is Vladimir Tarasenko, who used to be able to be the guy that was here that disguises his shot very well. And what I mean by that is a lot of the times the puck is very deceptive coming off of his blade, and the goalie doesn't have a really good read of where when the shot's going to come and where it's going to wind up, because only the shooter knows. And I think Jimmy Snuggerud is that guy. The only difference for me with him is, like you said, the quickness of the puck coming off of his blade. Tarasenko was really good at it when he first came up with the Blues here. I think Jimmy Snuggerud is the same way here. And yeah, he knew he was going short side with that shot. I don't think Kevin Lankinen knew, because first of all, I don't think he was able to recognize where the puck was. And two, a lot of times goalies like to read when the puck is coming off of the stick so they can react. And I just don't think that he had the time to do that. It was a very well and organized play, but all three of the guys on that forward line touched a puck. And Matthew Joseph said it took every one of them to obviously make something happen on that. And he goes, he didn't really realize he was shooting the puck at the net, but didn't really realize how in a good position his two line mates were to finish that off and to make that happen. So you're wondering if that's going to be a line that you're going to be able to stick with here for a sustained amount of time. Things always change. We know that, but it looked really good last night.
Last thing for you, we're talking with Luke Korak. There's so much talk about the schedule early on in the season having so many home games. Well, now that hits. The next four games are at home. You don't make or break your season in the month of October, but it certainly is an opportunity for this team if they can have some home success over the next week or so.
Well, and this is something that Jim Montgomery talked about today, is you want to keep your foot on the gas here, because you feel good about coming off of this road trip. You won two games, and the Calgary game really was kind of the catalyst here, because the longer you go without winning, the longer you went there without scoring, guys are starting to press a little bit more, and maybe guys start to try to do things a little bit more than what they need to be doing in the moment. But once Jake Neighbors scored that first goal, he said you can kind of tell that guys just relaxed, and then they just started to play. But now that you've won two in a row, if you want to be one of those teams that are playoff hopefuls, want to establish yourself on good ground here, you want to be able to build on that. And now, like you said, you have a four-game homestand here. There are some tough opponents in here. Chicago's one of those teams that's not expected to be in the mix this year. But I'm telling you right now, they've played four games, and they've played some very good teams. They've played really hard. It's still supposed to be one of those teams you got to beat. You have to come ready to play, though, because you've played the one game at home right now. I think the result wasn't what you wanted. But if you're going to be a playoff team, there's just no ifs, ands, or buts about it in the NHL. You have to establish yourself and be a good home team.
He is Luke Korak, covers the Blues for NHL.com and also the Hockey News. Follow him on Twitter at LKorak10. Lou, appreciate the time. We'll be hoping for not very many whistles tomorrow night and a nice, swift game for you so you're not walking out of the Enterprise Center too terribly late.
That would be very nice, but you know what? We've been used to these from playoff start times. It just happens to fall on the Central Division teams, but hopefully everybody can see a good game tomorrow night. It'll be, I think TNT's got it tomorrow night, so a national game for everybody to get to see.
Yep, absolutely. Lou, thank you.
You got it. Take care.
All right, there's Lou Korak joining us on the program. We appreciate him spending a few moments with us, and he gave you a little bit of inside information there, because the game is officially listed as an 8:30 puck drop, but he said 8:52 for the puck drop. So it is a national game on TNT. A lot of times, and I know in basketball, I used to cover the NBA, they would push games back. Like you might have that West Coast game that was scheduled for 8:30, and then the game in front of it would go late, and about an hour before tip-off, you would get the notice that had been pushed back to like 8:45 or 8:50. Based off what Lou said, sounds like 8:52 for the puck drop. I covered the Denver Nuggets for a while, and it was when Carmelo Anthony played for them. So they had that Thursday night game on TNT all the time, and that game would end up always starting almost 9 o'clock at night, and those were late nights. So. Nobody's crying too much. I think it's going to be a good crowd tomorrow night. A lot of people, anytime the Blackhawks come in town, obviously there's going to be a good amount of people from Chicago that come in. Blues, Blackhawks, doesn't matter if it's starting at 8:30, 8:50, 6:30, whatever. It's going to be a good environment. So, yeah, hopefully people have fun tomorrow evening. Get to a downtown restaurant or bar ahead of time and certainly enjoy yourself and go from there. By the way, a quick update on what's going on in the baseball game as the Dodgers and the Brewers are matched up against each other in Milwaukee, and the Dodgers have now taken a 2-1 lead in the second inning. The Brewers jumped out. First pitch swinging home run in the bottom of the first inning when it was scoreless. And now the Dodgers have answered that in the top of the second inning as they have scored two runs, and they now have a 2-1 lead as the Dodgers are trying to take a 2-0 series lead before the series shifts back to, or not back to, but just shifts to Los Angeles moving forward, starting with game three, but still a lot of baseball to be played tonight. Here's what we've still got coming up here in the final half hour or so of the show. We are going to hear from Blues coach Jim Montgomery in just a few moments, as he did meet with the media earlier today following the practice. So we'll get some of the comments from him. And then also, we talked yesterday about all the college football job openings that are coming around. And once again, we're starting to hear Eli Drinkwitz's name being brought up. He actually addressed it today when he was meeting with the media. So I'll pass along what he had to say, and I'll give you my thoughts if there's any reason to be worried that Coach Drink might be leaving Missouri. But up next, we'll hear from Jim Montgomery. It's the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. 1, it's $15 a month. 2, seriously, it's $15 a month. 3. No big contrast. 4. I use it. 5. My mom uses it.
Are you playing me off?
That's what's happening, right? Okay. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauly on KMOX.
It's Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX as we continue to take you until 8 o'clock this evening. Right now, time to have a little fun with audio. The St. Louis Blues sitting with a record of 2-1-0. They went on the road and won against a couple Canadian teams, beating Calgary on Saturday 4-2, and then a good 5-2 win against Vancouver yesterday. Back at tomorrow night, a late start at the Enterprise Center, 8:30 tomorrow evening when they match up against the Chicago Blackhawks. They did get on the ice for a little bit of time today. Really kind of a tough situation where they're coming back from Vancouver, and then they just have the day before they play a late game tomorrow. So they just wanted to get on the ice and get a few things done. Head coach Jim Montgomery speaking earlier today and talked about what he saw from his team getting on the ice after a tough travel day coming back in.
Spirited practice? Yeah. Well, it does. I mean, winning's fun. You know, it doesn't matter if you're beating your kids at fish. It's still fun. And it shows because the pace of practice was really good. We got what we wanted to get done in preparation for tomorrow night. And it's hard. You learn through the experience in the league, and I think the benefit of sports science, like Ryan Podell's excellent for us, and I consult with him nearly every day, either about practice or when we should practice, timing, how long practice should be, and what type of drills, you know, the length of drills. And we'll do that again tomorrow, like in preparation with our morning skate, to give ourselves the best opportunity. And what is, you know, everyone has it at least 3 times a year where you're at a big disadvantage coming back from the West Coast and you're playing a team that's in their own time zone.
As mentioned, the Blues win a couple games on the road. Good win, scoring 9 total goals over the 2 games. Montgomery said what he saw, what positives he saw from the trip.
One, that we got a win in Calgary, because the longer you go without winning, the more everyone starts to press. So that was really good. And we thought that the emotion of the victory, you know, we had to kill a lot of penalties. Our goaltender had to be stellar. Jake Neighbors was unbelievable, going hard to net on that first goal. And it just, after that first goal, it just felt like everyone relaxed and they started playing, you know. And then we felt as a staff going into Vancouver that we were going to be the best we've been, because we were calm, you know, everyone was relaxed, and we were just going to play hockey. And that's what we saw. I mean, it was clearly our best game of the year so far, but we got a lot of room for improvement, which is exciting.
There was a lot of talk before the season even got started about the beginning of the season was going to be very important, specifically because of how many home games. They opened up at home, and after playing those 2 road games, they're now going to play the next 4 all at the friendly confines of the Enterprise Center. And Montgomery spent some time talking about what he's seen so far and what he wants to see moving forward, just going along with the idea that they do need to have a solid start.
We're seeing ourselves, the most important thing to start a season is training camp. We think we touched on everything, but then players got to go out and team has to have success. It's just like individual players need to score. Like, well, look at Snuggie yesterday. He scores that first one, then he's like playing like he wasn't a playoffs, right? He's just all over the place. You need to have that success. And once we had that success in Calgary, now we're playing better in Vancouver, and I think we're just going to continue to grow. And the combination of them knowing our structure and them growing with success in the team, it allows you to get off to a great start. Now, it's up to us to continue to push the gas pedal here and make sure our schedule's favorable. We've got 4 in a row at home, and we love playing at home in front of our fans, so it's time for us to hit the gas.
The Blues have done a little bit of shuffling when it comes to their defensive pairings, as they flipped Broberg and Tucker. Still trying to get some things figured out. So the motivation for some movement here this early on the season, Montgomery talked about what he's trying to do, shuffling some of the defensive pairings.
Yeah, well, what we got is the ability to match up when we need to. On the road, because we have a lot of flexibility with 2 veteran guys being on different pairs. And we also had the ability to move our top pairing around, because to make sure that we always had what we wanted our decor to look like on the ice. You know, we thought Tucker and Mayhew both had solid games, as did the rest of our D-Corps, because we killed and ended a lot of plays in our D-Zone.
One of those defensemen that's still trying to get things going is Logan Mayhew, and he's somebody who's right now on a defensive pairing with Phil Broberg. We'll see what that's going to look like here moving forward. Somebody that the Blues are really excited for, but maybe are not quite yet seeing what they'd like to see from him. Still just three games into the season.
Anyone that hasn't had success yet, in every season, not never mind in the league. And what I mean by success is everyone, even if you're a defenseman, if a puck goes in or you get an assist, it relaxes you, you know? And you see that even, like, I think that Holloway and Kyrou are pressing right now. They haven't, you know, scored, and they're used to scoring, you know? So it doesn't matter who it is, but you need to feel good about what, how you're impacting the team's success. And once that happens, we think that doesn't matter who it is, any of those three players, they're going to go to another level.
And then it's been an absolutely fantastic start for Jake Neighbors, as he's been able to go out there and have a huge impact on the team. He was moved up from the third line to the first line, so right now he is on the wing next to Robert Thomas in the middle and Pavel Buchnevich on the other wing. Montgomery spent some time talking about what he's seen so far from Neighbors.
Yeah, I think we've seen a guy that is in, you know, first of all, team first attitude. Does anything that the team needs, and we'll do anything that the team needs for us to have success. The second thing is how he elevates our competitive spirit. Those would be the two things that he does at a high level. He's a very underrated player about how important he is to our team, I think, around the league. But everybody in our dressing room and our coaching staff knows how important he is.
That is Blues coach Jim Montgomery, as he spoke earlier today after the team practice. We'll take a break. Have more coming up in just a moment as we roll on with the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauly on KMOX.
Starting to wrap things up on this edition of a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. I wanted to mention this real quick. Maybe we'll get into this a bit more later on in the week. But we discussed it a lot yesterday, just all the openings that have come available across college football, the most recent one being Penn State when James Franklin was fired after this past weekend. And a name that you always hear brought up is Eli Drinkwitz. And we know why. There's a couple reasons why. Most notably, Missouri is not one of these blue blood type programs, and Drinkwitz has done incredible things with the Tigers. So people from outside of this area and people who are not real understanding of what's going on there, they are going to connect one dot to the other, because certainly there are some programs that if they had the opportunity to go after Eli Drinkwitz, I think they would. Now, he was asked about this specifically, and this is what he said. I read from the article that Eli Hoff wrote that's on the Post-Dispatch and STL Today. He says, quote, Drinkwitz, as far as my name associated with everything, that's awesome for the University of Missouri. Means we're doing something really good. Means that our administration is committed to excellence. It means all the investment that the people here have made have resulted in our success. That's what I'd say. It's a tip of the hat to the University of Missouri. Has nothing to do with me. Has everything to do with the players and the support staff. So that's where, and then when he went on to say, I would encourage all the fans and everybody else, it's October 14th. Is that what today is? The only thing that matters for us is going 1-0 this week. Anything outside of that is a distraction that you shouldn't even worry about. Don't even let it cross your mind, because, man, I have no idea. You lose three games in a row, you may get fired, so I wouldn't worry about it. So I guess it's not a carte blanche, no, I'm not going to look around, but in look, money talks, right? Money talks. If one of the big boys comes after Eli Drinkwitz and offers him just gobs and gobs and gobs of money and everything else, Drink would be crazy not to look at it, right? If this life-changing institutional kind of money, but I'm not sure that's going to happen. And call me crazy. Call me somebody that, you know, listens to what people say and believes them too often. I think he likes where he's at. I think he likes what he's building, and I don't get any sense that he wants to start over somewhere else, that this is somewhere he wants to be. I'm not saying that there's never a scenario that could play out that could result in him leaving and going somewhere else, and his name is all unless Missouri all of a sudden starts winning national titles, right? His name is always going to be connected with other institutions and other situations. That's happened before. I'm sure he has had many opportunities to go down the path with some other schools and potentially leave. He's been able to use some of that, I'm sure, to make a few dollars, both for him and for his coaching set. And that's, by the way, that's healthy, because when a university feels the pressure of another school trying to come in and maybe take your guy, then not only are you going to throw more money at that guy, you're going to throw more resources. And when you're throwing more resources at the football program, everything else kind of lifts up. And whether it's facilities, whether it's the ability to have better assistant coaches, whatever. Retain assistant coaches would probably be a better way of saying that. You're going to be in a much better spot. So I didn't come on to talk about this to say that you have absolutely no reason to worry that Eli Drinkwitz is 100% committed to the University of Missouri and there's 0% chance that he's ever going to leave. We've all seen what happens in college football. If you trust somebody that much, you are putting yourself in a position where you can absolutely get burned, and that's not something that you want to do. That being said, I don't think he's looking for a reason to leave, and I think more likely than not, he is not going to be exiting anytime soon. I don't know what it's going to look like. I don't know what all of a sudden boosters and things like that start getting focused on somebody. Things can change pretty quickly, but this is just a reminder that Drinkwitz's name has been mentioned in these type of things before, going to be mentioned again, and there's a pretty good chance that he is going to remain at the University of Missouri. He's done a really, really good job of building that program up. Again, we might talk about this a little bit more coming up later on in the week. And I haven't, so far, like you go, when coaches get fired, all the outlets that cover those universities, they always put together their like coaching hot boards where you'll see 10, 15 guys who could be considered for the head coaching job. I can't say I've seen every single one of them. I feel like I haven't seen Drinkwitz at the top of those as much this year. I'm sure he gets thrown in there every once in a while, but so far, at least from my perspective, and maybe I'm just not looking in the right places, it doesn't seem like he's been connected to quite as much stuff as he had in previous times. And so sometimes you got to look at it and say, well, is that really a better job? Like the Arkansas job, is that really a better job than Missouri? I don't think it is. You can make the argument that maybe Penn State is, but it's been a long time since Penn State has won a national title. And I know last year they were in the semifinals of the college football playoff. It's just, it's not always greener on the other side is the point that I'm trying to make here. All right, that's just about going to do it for the program today. Thanks so much for being tuned in. This was a fun show. We'll be back tomorrow. We've got another full two-hour show tomorrow, 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock, and we'll be with you. Look forward to being able to talk to you then. Have a good rest of your night. We've got a Gas House Gang replay. That's going to be coming up in just a few moments after the 8 o'clock news, and I'll be back with you tomorrow first for Rush Hour Sports in the 5 o'clock hour, and then for Sports Open Line 6 to 8 tomorrow right here on KMOX.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend
created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speed Test. So MLB fans are connected from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever. You can keep up with your teams on the road, overseas, and even off the grid. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla Speed Test Intelligence Data 1H 2025, compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.